We're back on it.
Yes, I think I can keep up fast enough to translate. I think that'd be a very good idea, because a lot of ones have Billy Meyer's information, but not from this particular author, and there is going to get to be a point where we bring in that wedding cake confounded model being produced, you know, as if it's real. These are the things that happen. I can tell you about it. I don't even know that it's worth it. Billy Meyer got usurped by this Silver Semyazi, Silver Star Center. Semyazi is a Pleiadian. Ascot comes along and everybody thinks, ah, Pleiadian. Ascot is from the Tao universe. A universe is a part of the creation. And it's just time that you begin to sort it out, because you think, ah, from Pleiades. Pleiades has more planets in their system than you can count. So to say somebody comes from Pleiades is like saying, oh, do you know Joe Blow in New York? You know the one, the Joe that used to live in Texas. Well, only Commander seems to be credited with being able to know that Joe Blow. I think, EJ, go ahead and read today's. I would like to give Eustace some real credit. And this will wrap up this book. I would like it pretty much isolated, and I would like, as we move along, for Eustace to have at least 50% of the profit, if there ever is one. And if Ron ever gets out and gets us some money, we'll just pay him and he can come do the paper. And believe me, he would do it. And he will go speaking. He is only limited by his income. And he had to get to know me. Nobody wants to deal with a stupid space cadet. And I don't blame them with all the garbage that goes around. We've had 7 years of it, 8 years now. We're going to get there. I just want this one on record. That's all, the reason that we're doing this. I am not angry with Vina. I understand exactly where she's coming from. She's had a lot of trauma, a lot of heartache, and she's got a long way to go. But we've got to stop nipping at each other. And we've got to stop rushing to some silly assumption that somehow somebody's out to get whatever we have. We've just got to grow.
I'm writing from Sunday, December 11th, 1994. Reference, Banks and Currency and Ron Jackson, Grandma, Sears, and other players. I have a pile of correspondence that would take months for the angels to get through regarding controversial messages, contradictions, exaggerations, and you name it. I am not in the business of earth business or various writers. Is Ron Jackson real? Well, somebody calls and writes and says he is Ron Jackson. A whole lot of you have heard from him. Now I get letters and copies of Ron's letters with inquisition regarding reality, exaggerations, differing signatures, and on and on and on. I am asking Ron Jackson to stop giving out numbers on letters received and anything that could be accepted as exaggeration. I do not care. If Ron can write with both hands and both feet, people get hung up on measuring their own capabilities relative to what they think can be accomplished. This is why I caused Dharma to write everything I offer through her. No scanning, she couldn't figure out the scanner if she had to, and no cut and paste in our writings. We do every word carefully so that I sit with her and monitor every letter printed, ones who can function master faster and more readily than another is their business, not mine. If there are exaggerations, that too is not my problem. Grandma. I have a scathing response from Grandma, stating that I have accused her of being already bankrupt and morally and spiritually. Say what? What I really feel is that I am up to my ears in ones who cannot read, are on the defensive personally, and refuse to read what is presented. I said, quote, "Your nation is bankrupt and morally and spiritually. If there is further interpretation, it is not of my doing. Further, I cannot give more individual time to such quibbling. You, Vina, sent word for my input regarding banks and that gold certificate. I gave it, and immediately we are treated as greedy. Your words. And told to use your own. It simply does seem that the minute I respond to direct inquiry, I get a blast, and the advice requested is distorted, and nothing appears save argument. So, stop asking if you don't want answers. I answer to 6 billion persons. I am come with the hosts of God. I am not Pleiadian, and I am weary of this kind of garbage. Vina, you have been infiltrated, and that simply is the way it is. I would be totally remiss in not warning you. So be it. My focus is on the United States. My mission is not to save anything other than to secure my people and bring truth to a world ready to destruct. I am as responsible for the head of the Committee of 300 as I am to any one of you. I am as responsible for the babe in the dense forest of South Africa as I am for you. This paper, Contact, gives you voice which can be heard. If you want to be heard, which certainly I note both Grandma and Ron Jackson fully desire and demand, you note that, quote, Hatton hasn't produced anything yet. I would like to see what you have actually produced. Banks in closure. I do not know whether or not the banks will close, even for 10 minutes. We have been told by many sources that this will happen. Will it be orderly or chaotic? I do not know, nor do I care. I have told you what to do to protect yourselves in case. If you have assets and you wish to leave them alone and run risks, do so. My people here ask me, and I tell you, do whatever you like about it. Earthquakes. You want the time and date of any possible earthquakes also. Why? So you can blame me after the fact that you are not prepared. You in Southern California know you are going to get a very big earthquake. When that happens, and it is the big one, you are going to have emergency funds in spendable cash. Would not silver coins spend in the market? I remind you, I'm not your babysitter on individual basis. When you will put up with me. However, if readers interpret my writings in such total disinformation manners as is happening, they are not in tune enough to be your leaders. Quantity. Has Ron Jackson received 17 million pieces of mail? No, I don't know how many pieces of mail he has received, and in fact, most of the mail he has not received at any rate, as it is said to be bypassing. The address on the envelopes, as asked, has not received very many pieces of mail at all. What is happening? I don't know, and I do not care. But I, like Ron, repeat what we are told. I assume he sticks with his figures, for he says the mail is weighed. He says a lot of funds have been sent. We have not seen any of it. Does this answer your many inquiries? I do not attend those matters, nor shall I. Ron says he has access to funds when he is free. Does he? How would we know? We have seen none. Is he a con man only? Some say he is, others say no. I say nothing. I don't care. The hardest inquiries come from Canada, where it matters not very much what Ron Jackson is. There are some who need to know these answers and will, soon enough. These are, however, ones who depend upon accuracy of presentations by themselves. The rest must wait and see. In fact, those with need to know will also wait. Now, as to different signatures on correspondence. Type messages are most often copied from dictation or printed letters, prepared and signed by ones acting in the capacity of typist or secretary. For goodness sakes, friends, the man is in prison. He broke the law and is in prison. What is there not to understand? You have a lot of people in prison, some at the total whim of the courts, others may well be rightfully incarcerated, but the worst criminals are running around, running your lives. I am not a personnel director, and I repeat something. I am weary of you acting as if I am. When you are as informed as is Ron Jackson, I will ask everyone to direct their correspondence to you. Life goes right on moving by. You can either live in the distractions or get with the living. Now I repeat something else. What do you think of me? Correction. What you think of me is none of my business. I know my mission. Do you know yours? Well, Ron thinks he is beginning to finally know his. Is he correct? That is between him and God who makes the contracts. I am not judge nor jury. Remember, if you introduce yourself to me as Jesus Christ, I will either call you Mr. Jesus, Jesus, or Mr. Christ. Ron has also, in humor, asked me for a ship to carry the mail. Well, wouldn't it be lovely if, in fact, there were enough pounds to require it? Our people have no contact with anyone Mr. Jackson even mentions, unless they were already in our contact. So I am not the one to which to inquire. I do not act as God or Mr. Know-it-all. What I know is my business, and I share what may help you to become enlightened. I am not here to hand you gold or currency. That is for you to consider. Our people do all they can, and I will not allow for abuse or insult upon them longer. They are doing everything they can under the very worst of circumstances. Now, as for ones who promise substantial support. Perhaps when we see it and can use it, it becomes more real and we don't have to work on nothing. Just to tell us something does not make it valid. A la Rusbacher. But we do not go to each of you asking you to verify or validate or discredit anybody. But, I am told, you know everything, even what I'm thinking. I do. I can. There is a lot of difference. Jackson and Grandma both satisfy me, but then I am not looking for what you're looking for, so it means nothing to you anyway. I do not judge, I am not jury, and my mission requires a lot of things that have nothing to do with anything you recognize. I am etheric in almost all presentations. That means you cannot see me. It does not mean I do not exist. You can't see the wind either, only the results of the wind or the feel of the wind. I can see the wind. What difference does it make? You can't see light. I can. What difference does it make? We both know that there is both wind and light. Grandma nor Ron Jackson have read hardly any of our presentations. They read the paper, and not many of them, and perhaps at most one or two journals. Grandma has not even participated in that much. I suggest all ones stop judging and concluding on no information. A partially informed person is a dangerous person to
and
all
don't
of
Don't forget it. Don't forget it.
May we now move on to things which are important that you know, please. I have absolute demand that my workers act totally within all laws of God and the land. They, further, are not here to serve other than God and mission. It is unfortunate that ones get bent totally out of shape because, say, Rick or Doris, Dorma or EJ or anyone here is slow in responding to anyone about anything. They work 24 hours a day, around the clock, around the calendar. There are no vacations here. There is no day off. And weekends are busier than the rest of the week. God is grace. I am a commander. Norma, let us see if we can finish the Parasite Journal so the team can move on. Thank you. Maybe enough reading.
Well, if we just make sure that everyone knows that the remainder of the writing finishes off the short volume by Eustace on parasites and his encounters and what the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, which is of B'nai B'rith, but comes right out of British intelligence, has done to him. And it's a very typical picture of what they do to anyone who begins to reveal the truth about the parasites. And you cannot call the parasites Jews except in the term that they refer to themselves as Jews. But you see, you as Gentiles, the Hulls, may not even use the term Jew. They may, but you may not. It's sort of like some wives will bitch and moan and groan about their husband. Well, that's a privilege. That is truly a privilege. Women like to talk about things, and their problems end mostly with talking about it. You remember the men are from Mars and women are from Venus, and men don't understand this, so they can just mouth, and then they're through with it. Men think they've got to fix everything, but the last thing a woman wants to hear is how to fix it. And when you guys understand this, we'll all get along better. But the fact is that you let someone else come in and say something about her husband, and I want to tell you, you are dead. I have that right. You do not. And that's the very assumption under which these parasites work. And this is why we need to call them something different. Don't think, however, that it's going to slip by them and they won't notice. It might on the cover of a book. I think we'll call this one Flukes and Other Parasites. And maybe it'll get by the Canadian border. Especially if we give the formula for getting rid of parasites on the front page and it doesn't say anything about Jews. There are so few Hebrew-lineaged Jews running around that it would amaze you. This group of Khazarian misfits, merchants, users, parasites, drifting around, making trouble, they come from the Luciferians who were kicked out of the cosmos. Remember, Michael? You guys are going to have to catch up. And that was their own story. They wrote the Bible, for goodness sakes, so that you would be sure and have to use it. And you'd know when to kill yourself off. They changed the name to protect the innocent to Jehovah. Well, let's say to protect the guilty and fool the innocent. Lucifer is nothing in the world but Satan, kingpin antichrist. Is that a being? You better believe it. And when I tell you that good or bad may be up for voting or perception, you know what's good and what is right because you're birthed with that knowledge. And immediately the parasites begin to train it out of you. But they know that they can't, and everything that's done in the darkness, never to be uncovered, is wrong. Just that way. They're liars, they're cheat. That's the way it is. That's what a parasite is. It is very natural, very normal. Parasites act that way. And if you let them get away with it, they will continue to act that way until they have overrun everything. And then when they kill off everything, they will move on. When there is nothing left to devour. And there are the misfits in the cosmos. But there is a very large cosmos. And since everything is illusion and thought of God and the creation, and the Pleiadians know what creation is, and they are your reflection. They are the other part of you. You come from the same line. And I'm not going to talk white, black, brown, light. I'm not even going to discuss it. There is a period of time in universal law and order of null time, void time. There are beings all over your universe, all over the cosmos. They're not going to be exactly like you. Ones from Pleiades, from Era especially, are very, very much like you. Many of you came directly from there. And that is why your hosts, your helpers, will come via that way. You are familiar with these ones. They are your brothers. The hosts go far beyond the isolation of any planet system. And most of you will find out that you functioned there. And you're going to relate to many places of physical manifestation because that's where the jobs are. Now, what about these little grays? What about them? For goodness sakes, get off the focus. There was a soft landing in White Sands. There were some little grays. Some lived, some died. And the craft didn't even go down in White Sands. It went down in Yucca Flats. Three of them were dead. Two of them still twitch. They're over at Nellis Field. Well, they're probably back at White Sands now. The bodies, they don't know what to do with them. What do we call these ones in the cosmos? I smiled and said, little grays. Actually, we don't, because we have a different language. But the general universal language would call them macrocephalic microglias. Large-brained, small grays. But nobody comes from out there just to screw around. You're at a serious time of evolvement on your planet. We do not interfere. Those are the laws, and we abide by them. If you start to blow away the planet, there will be intervention. You have no right to do that. But it gets pretty awfully bad before there's intervention. So don't think that you have produced a God that is going to serve you when you happen to be ready. Remember, God created you from His plan. You want to create Him in your image. God is not a parasite. God is a host, and He is a giver. And He re-gives, and He re-gives, and He re-gives. And He allows you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And I appreciate that because I would have no other function. But I answer to Him, not to Ron Jackson, not to grandmother, not to, you know, it would be nice to have a green tail to warm up with. That was a slip. He could have cut his tongue out. I get along with Him just fine. So don't read anything into that one. This one just drifts around the cosmos waiting for something to happen. And that's the kind of team member I need. Do I think that Walt Rostow is a good team player? No way. Is there even a committee? Who cares? He's a powerful man. He's been a deadly man. But he isn't all there is. And you see, when ones begin to think that's all, they are so important that they become God, they err. They err. God will use what is necessary to turn this thing around if enough people want to turn it around. And I have great honor, great honor for what you just did. You notice that your president even comes forth and talks about restructuring America. It made a difference. And if it will hold you in some sort of order until you can take your next steps, do I think that you can ever reclaim Washington, D.C.? It was never yours. It belonged to the parasites from the ground up. And whether you like to face it or not, Mr. Washington was insightful, very insightful, but he was a Mason. Was he a good Mason? No, he didn't know beans about why he was a Mason. It was the thing to do. It got you to be a member of the club. And it seemed like a good club. It always does. It's when the parasites reduce you to being one of them that it's unfortunate. Just always know that unless you allow them to weaken you, the host is always stronger. They are wimps. And without their guns, they are nothing because they don't know how to work. They spend all their time in shrewd little games making up ways to deprive you of your things so they don't have to work and they get to be powerful and big shots. That is the physical plane. And my job is to get you ones into realizing you can manifest this because you are creator. And through creation will come freedom. The Constitution was simply a guide. And even it came from that period of time. I am not bigoted, but I'm telling you that before I make the statement. The common law that based your constitution came in that period of time out of England after England expelled the flukes. And common law was established. It didn't take them long, did it, to get right back in there. And this time they had to do it under the guise of the Illuminati and Freemasonry. I want you to pay particular attention to this book because we're going to also give you some insight as to how the protocols of the Elders of Zion were actually a total integration, and they had to move on from the protocols to the Communist Manifesto through Freemasonry. you people have on the surface when they come to solicit you to join their club is it looks like you have hospitals, Shriners hospitals, you do a lot of good. And Joe Blow goes out there and just does a lot of good, and he ignores the oaths. Oh, goodness, isn't this silly? One leg naked and one shoulder naked, and I'm going to go in there and I'm going to do this jig with a candle or whatever you do. This is silly, but I'm just kind of one of the fraternity. At the higher level, it means something. And it just finally sucks you in and sucks you in until, oh, well, I stand to the square. And I don't need anybody else but Jesus Christ, including Christianity. Ignorance is dangerous. Partially informed people are dangerous. They will lead you down the wrong trail, right into the mouths of the flukes. It is not an insult, it is a fact. You have Christ and Antichrist, and those are the two choices. You serve one or the other. You may not serve either one very much, or you may serve one a lot more than the other. And that's between you and God on those technical issues. I'm not here to tear down, destroy anything. I'm here to create. And you've got to do it. Maybe I'm just here to kick you in the fanny and say you can do it. If you know. No one can be expected to do anything with these hundreds of years of brainwashing. They keep removing bits and pieces of the valid material that did make it into your Bible to meet their needs. They took out reincarnation. They could not control you if you knew. And they have one purpose, and that is to control you and suck you dry. We've got to get rid of the parasites. Now, do you want a break now, or would you like to see sightings? It will be about half an hour. All right. Then we'll have a break, and then we can talk about it.
Welcome to Sightings. I'm Tim White. The ancient hamlet of Avebury in southwestern England is the site of two distinctly different supernatural events. In the Avebury area, more than 300 crop circles have been discovered since 1990. And then there are the bizarre glowing orbs that locals have dubbed the Avebury Mystery Lights. The two phenomena seemed unrelated until recently, when videotape was shot showing what appears to be a glowing ball of light actually creating a crop circle. This is a military helicopter circling a field in Avebury, England, as captured on home video. The researchers who shot this tape believe it is evidence that the British government is involved in secret crop circle research. Watch carefully as the helicopter hovers near a mysterious ball of light in the middle of your screen. In the field below, a crop circle.
Circle activity in this area this year has been quite considerable. We have something in the region of 100 major patterns in Great Britain currently. Over 90% of them are in this area once again.
Some of the crop circles are made by, in my view, extraterrestrials. When you study the material over the last 40 years from many countries, you have solid metallic looking objects landing, taking off, leaving a characteristic ground feature like an ordinary crop circle.
It was like a clear sphere, but orange inside, with like thousands of lights spinning and rotating, and the whole thing was spinning.
Most of the lights that are seen above the cross formations, and some of them are actually seen in the fields, there must be some connection, although at the present we haven't got that little thing that clips the two together.
Every night, sky watchers ring the hills around Avebury, waiting for a glimpse of the mysterious lights. The following amateur videotapes of unexplained lights in the night sky have all been taken within the last 3 years.
It was only very short-lived, but for the 5 seconds it was there, it was tremendous. It was like looking at something half the size of the moon just sat on the ridge top, brilliantly glowing orange.
They looked like orange balls of light. You could see that they were mushroom-shaped, revolving, and emitting orange light out from the bottom. So we were quite fascinated by it.
I describe it as being spherical, oval-shaped, silvery-white, slight orange tinge.
It came over from the left to the right, the trees, then it went back, then it came back again. Then all of a sudden, it looked like it trebled in size and changed colour to orange. But then after that, we see the white ball came out from the side of it, and that went off to the left, and we never see that no more.
The lights are there, and they're not aircraft, planets, or radio towers, but are they extraterrestrial craft? Most astronomers believe the Avebury mystery lights are a natural phenomenon, but so far, they don't know much more than that.
At the heart of a lot of genuine sightings of UFOs are these balls of light cavorting around in the night sky, perhaps coming down very close, perhaps changing shape.
It's quite possible that those balls of light are a glowing plasma, which is the same type mechanism that we do think is involved in crop circle formation. Plasma being very simply electrically charged air particles. And they start high in the Earth's atmosphere and come down towards the ground. So if you have plasma coming from high in the Earth's atmosphere, you should expect that it's likely to be swirling by the time it gets anywhere near the ground. And that's completely consistent with what we find in crop circles.
It is just conceivable that for some of the circles may result from balls of light that just touch down and touch this very responsive surface of a cornfield.
The ground here is chalk and limestone, crisscrossed with underground springs. Some scientists hypothesize that the interaction between the water and the rock creates an electrical charge that either attracts or helps create the lights.
But what is so strange is that these lights appear to be moving purposefully. And that's, for me, what sets it aside from the natural phenomenon to one which may well be controlled by an intelligence of some sort, or indeed in itself may well be intelligent.
I turned, and I saw this glint, and I thought, what's that? And automatically, almost, I picked my video camera up.
On July 26, 1990, crop circle researcher Stephen Alexander captured this remarkable footage of one of the mysterious Earth lights in a field near Avebury. The Earth light was maneuvering next to a newly formed crop circle.
And this object just actually curved round and dropped into the crop and disappeared for a while. And then it started maneuvering through the crop and it was glinting and flashing. It was a very intense sort of energy source, it seems to me.
Oh my gosh.
Then you can see that object actually take off. And in the distance was a tractor driver. And you can actually see the tractor driver stop as the actual object went over the top there. I couldn't explain it. In the back of my mind, I knew it wasn't a bird or a balloon or just something blowing in the wind. I knew there was something important there.
This videotape of another Earth light above Avebury was taken from a hang glider by Dutch UFO researcher Fokke Kuja. But scientists and ufologists may not be the only ones interested in these lights. It appears that the British military is also studying the phenomenon.
What appeared to be happening was that we had walked into a situation which was undesirable, because what happened was that the two army helicopters approached us
and appeared to be harassing us. I mean, he was so close, it was unbelievable. One helicopter broke away across this field, to the far side of the field, to my left, and what you can see on the film is a small white object pulsating, identical to Stephen Alexander's, very similar to the Dutch people's footage and others. And this helicopter went directly to the light, which we could see on the footage.
Some flashing thing on the ground. He's wandering right over right
now. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Does it move?
It overshot it. The helicopter, you can see, backing up to get this back into full view as this white light is pulsating underneath it. And on film, this light just disappears. But once again, on film, we have something we cannot explain.
If the lights are simply a natural phenomenon, why would the British military be involved? If the lights are nothing more than concentrations of superheated energy, how could they create these intricate designs?
These things are seen to move from one pattern to another. They appear to have total awareness of their surroundings, and on occasions we have many reports of an interactiveness between the people who are observing them. And so, therefore, for me, that puts it into a slightly different slot. We're looking at what might be intelligence.
He's moving right over right now.
The British Ministry of Defense has stated that the helicopters in Conrad Andrews' videotape were on a training exercise and that no one involved with the exercise saw anything unusual that day. According to the Defense Ministry, the pulsing white object is simply a reflection from the helicopter's strobe light.
Coming up, a startling new theory suggests that there is a missing link in the story of human evolution.
Don't call them aliens, because we look like them, they look like us.
All day long, it's Frankie. Quiet, put down, Frankie. Out comes the algae.
Species in 1859, it ignited a worldwide controversy that continues to divide science and religion. But the controversy doesn't end there, because within the scientific community itself, there is bitter division. And now, new evidence that a conspiracy of silence among mainstream anthropologists is covering up evidence of what some believe are our true extraterrestrial origins.
The Bible answers the riddle of our origin in four simple words: and God created man. Darwin looked at monkeys and saw Michelangelo. But for modern anthropologists who try to put a name and a date to the dawn of humankind, the answer is constantly changing. Fossils discovered recently in Ethiopia put our earliest ancestors at around 4.4 million years. But some scientists believe that there is evidence that we are much older than that. On an archaeological dig in Hueyatlico, Mexico, Dr. Virginia Steen McIntyre discovered tools that predated the earliest known humans. The find created a storm of controversy.
Don't really want to be in the center of a controversy. I never asked to be in the center of a controversy, but I'm here. And doggone it, I want to get the information out. I want to get at the truth. I guess that's what it is.
Why does Dr. Steen McIntyre feel the need to protect her artifacts from her more mainstream colleagues? Why are contradictory findings being met with contempt instead of excitement? Some researchers charge it's because these new findings would turn modern anthropology on its head.
I believe that we came from outer space. All the evidence suggests that human beings, as we know them, did not originate on this planet, but have come to this Earth.